Hello and welcome to the Developmental Services Ontario's podcast. Today we are going to talk about step 6 of the DSO Housing Toolkit, which is about learning from others. I'm your host, Val Baravi, Communication Specialist for DSO. In the studio with me today is Bambi Pepe, DSO Housing Navigator for Northern Ontario Region, and Tanner Strangers, DSO Housing Navigator for Hamilton Niagara Region. Welcome, Bambi and Tanner.
Thank you, Val.
Thank you, Val.
Can you give us a brief overview, Bambi, of what you will be discussing today?
We've reached the last step in the toolkit, step 6, which focuses on learning from others. When we were creating the housing toolkit and its content, we thought about the people who developed housing and support plans for and with adults with developmental disabilities. We developed the DSO Housing Toolkit by collecting information and resources from service providers, community members, circle of care members, and specialists in the field. Some of the toolkit is based on lived experience. This site includes so many resources throughout the 6 steps for creating an independent housing and support plan. Step 6 is broken into 2 parts. In Part A, you'll find guides to help creating housing choices and finding housing. You'll also find websites that share many resources on housing, community, and inclusion. These resources are from family networks and community partners. And in Part B of Step 6, you'll read about a lot of success stories from people and their loved ones who have created innovative, person-centered housing solutions and to their housing needs and support plans. There are links to many inspiring stories in Part B of the DSO Housing Toolkit.
You mentioned that there are 2 parts to Step 6. Tanner, can you tell us more about Part A?
Of course, Val. I'm excited to share more about Part A. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Step 6 in general. Step 6 has 11 resources, including tools, case studies, and tools for people who are stuck when they're thinking about a housing future. This will help you see what has worked for others, give you tools and ideas to help you on your housing journey. These examples, I think, will inspire you when creating your own plan for your family. It's good to keep in mind that what may work for one family might not work for another. I'm going to review a few of the resources in Section A. The first one is Connectability. Now, this is a website and a virtual community dedicated to lifelong learning and providing support for people who have had an intellectual disability, their families, and support networks. The core value of their community is accessible, self-directed access to valuable information and tools. There are guides on steps to independence, information on housing task forces, housing options, and microboards, as well as videos on housing projects. Connectability is also a great place where families can connect and share their ideas through the Connected Family section. They also have a resource directory to help families who are looking for professional services across Ontario.
Connectability sounds like a great resource. What else is in this section, Tanner?
Another great resource to highlight is the resource guide that accompanies the Creating Housing Choices Forum. The forum was a day-long event that showcased alternative housing options for people with developmental disabilities within the Greater Toronto Area. About 40 care-providing agencies, various government officials, and over 50 families participated. The resource guide was created to be a companion to this forum. It has an overview of available housing options for people with developmental disabilities. It has case studies that show the benefits and challenges faced by people who have tried to apply these models to their own experience. This is a great resource for families to draw inspiration from as they create their own housing plans.
Bambi, what other resources in Part A should people be aware of?
Other great resources in this section are 4 different links of information by the Windsor Access Family Network. These links can guide you through some options to consider when thinking about financing home ownership. They'll also guide you to the pros and cons of different housing models to help you figure out what type of home you'd like to live in, and a resource that gives great tips if you are considering a renovation to create a secondary suite. One final mention for Section A of Step 6 is the Inclusion Press. Inclusion Press is a website dedicated to the deep history and current research of inclusion. The website collects a wide range of articles, videos, and books that talk about both the evolution and practice of inclusion as told by many of the key authors and developers of person-centered practices.
So both of you have mentioned Step 6 being broken up into two sections, Section A and Section B. What is the difference between the two sections, Tanner?
Well, in Part A, you're encouraged to explore resources that are available to you, while in Part B, you're encouraged to learn from other people's successes. You can find more than 40 success stories from individuals, families, service providers, and networks that developed innovative and person-centered solutions to their housing and support needs. This brings me right into the first link in this section, the Developmental Services Housing Task Force's Housing Toolkit. The Housing Task Force was launched in 2015 and issued a call for innovative housing proposals across the province. The guide presents case studies that illustrate the benefits and challenges faced by those who have tried to apply these models to their own homes. It presents case studies that show the benefits and challenges faced by those who have tried to apply these models. This is a great tool for families interested in creating their own housing plan to learn from and adapt strategies that have previously worked.
What else can you tell us about the section, Bambi?
Oh, our next great resource is a link to Elmira's Community Living's Field of Dreams video. The Field of Dreams is about an intentional community that offers the chance for adults with intellectual disabilities to live independently with the support of good neighbors. As part of Elmira's good neighbor model, affordable rent is exchanged for the good neighbor agreeing to help develop a sense of community within the building and to take part in creating a safe and secure environment. It is based on the concept of a caring neighbor who cares for the well-being of their neighbor and acts as a social safety net for them as well. A good neighbor model provides passive support, such as overnight presence, to ease concerns about safety. This model is unique to Elmira and is an innovative option for many people to consider.
Wow, that sounds like a really good resource that families should look into. Is there anything else, Tanner?
Yeah, of course. I'd like to share a little bit about the Oak Park Family Group, if you don't mind. If you click on Step 6, you'll be able to view how 8 families came together to create homes in their community. They also provide many resources on their website that help them in developing their plans, learn what's worked, and stay involved with their growing community. Check out the Explore Dreams report on their website to see how Oak Park Family Group was involved in an Ontario Trillium Foundation seed project with and for adults with developmental disabilities in the Halton and Peel regions. The goal of this project was to recruit and engage adults with developmental disabilities and their communities in accessible and inclusive interview experiences. These experiences would help them explore and identify their interests and strengths, and even their life goals. It would also help them see what obstacles they might face. 3 people with developmental disabilities were given a person-centered support circle through Explore Dreams. This part of the process is so beneficial for participants and their families. It allows them to spend time thinking about and preparing for the future. It gives them the opportunity to ask for help and helps widen the circle of people who can enrich each other's lives. The Oak Park Family is a great resource to help inspire your housing and support plan.
Also in Step 6, Part B, there is a link to a video by Live Work Play that talks about the Just Enough Support Model, which is used for helping individuals with a developmental disability become fully integrated into their communities. Live Work Play is an organization that offers direct support and services in the Ottawa area. They help the community welcome and include people with disabilities so they can live, work, and play in their community. Basically, the Just Enough Support Model is about finding the right balance between too much and not enough support. It is all about finding just enough support. And the Live, Work, Play video summarizes the model and strategies well.
Tanner, what can you tell us about Partners for Planning?
Partners for Planning launched the P4P Planning Network in 2014 to help families plan for their future. Who will love and protect our sons and daughters with a disability when we no longer can? Each resource is designed specifically for you, the relative, friend, or caregiver of a person with a disability. P4P is a family-formed and led organization. They know that planning for a person with a disability takes effort and intention. From relationships to school transitions, community involvement, housing planning, and financial objectives and more, very little happens without planning. Families are encouraged to envision, strategize, and then take action. Through the Planning Network, you will find videos, articles, webinars, and much, much more, which empowers you with the right tools and inspires you along the way.
Very interesting, Tanner. Thank you so much. Bambi, is there anything else you think we should highlight for families?
Yes, Val. There is a link to a video called Living the Smart Life that shows how technology can make a difference in the lives of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. In this video, we meet Rusty, who uses assistive technology at home, at work, and even on public transportation. The intercom in Rusty's home welcomes him as he enters and reassures him that the house is secure. Assistive device technology helps give safety alerts, mobile notifications on a transit system to notify you when to get off and when to signal the driver, shopping lists on a phone while doing groceries, and even a bed sensor to alert Rusty when his dog is lying on the bed. It shows that technology can help people feel in control of their lives while allowing them to live independently and truly live a smart life. Check out Step 6 in the toolkit to find out how you can live a smarter life.
I think that's a great resource, Bambi. I've shared the video with many families that I've worked with. The next resource that I want to discuss is the Why Wait demonstration project, which is at the end of Step 6. This project gave 7 York Region residents and their families the chance to develop creative housing models in their own communities. Even though each model has had its own characteristics and was based on the person's vision for their home, they had several things in common. Each family has hired a facilitator to help them with putting their models into place, developing their networks of support, and set individualized goals. Creating microboards can also help keep the model feasible. Step 6 gives a link to the YouTube video that reviews each of these models and discusses what it took to put them in place, what has been successful, what they have had to adapt to, and how these plans are working for each family. Obviously, these plans are not always going to work out for every individual situation, but they are a great resource to understand what it takes to create and apply a plan of this nature and to draw inspiration as you navigate your own individual housing situation.
Tanner and Bambi, you have shared a lot of useful links and resources. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Val, I think we summed up a lot of great resources in Step 6. And this is the final step in the housing toolkit.
Whether you listened to one specific episode or all 6, we hope you found some information and resources to help support your innovative and creative housing and support plans.
Thank you, Bambi and Tanner, for your insight. I hope that this podcast session has helped our audience to understand Step 6 of the Housing Toolkit and its many benefits. We'd love to hear from you. Please send us your comments and suggestions for future podcast topics to info@dsontario.ca or via our social media accounts @dsontario.ca. Thank you.
I know, Val. We've reached the last step in the toolkit, step six, which focuses on learning from others. When we were creating the housing toolkit and its content, we thought about the people who developed housing and support plans for and with adults with developmental disabilities. We developed the DSO Housing Toolkit by collecting information and resources from service providers, community members, circle of care members, and specialists in the field. Some of the toolkit is based on lived experience. This site includes so many resources throughout the six steps for creating an independent housing and support plan. Step six is broken into two parts. In part A, you'll find guides to help creating housing choices and finding housing. You'll also find websites that share many resources on housing, community, and inclusion. These resources are from family networks and community partners. And in part B of step six, you'll read about a lot of success stories from people and their loved ones who have created innovative, person-centered housing solutions and to their housing needs and support plans. There are links to many inspiring stories in part B of the DSO Housing Toolkit.